covet your prayers this morning. I've been stopped up and coughing, and I think it's just the weather being 70 degrees one day and 30 degrees the next day. I do believe that Mississippi is bipolar. You don't know what to expect from day to day. But I love our great state that we live in. And I want to speak to you this morning on the topic, maintaining your passion. Maintaining your passion. You know, many people today are passionate about many things. Folks are passionate about football. Folks are passionate about baseball. Folks are passionate about hunting and sports and shopping. And the list could go on and on. I live in a house with five women. They are all passionate about shopping. You can say amen. That's all right. There are different types of things that appeal to different people, but they have all one thing in common. They have people that are passionate about them. You see, people go to the extremes to show their passion for the thing that they love. When it's 20 degrees and somebody's standing in a football stadium painted green with a block of cheese on their head, they are showing they are passionate about football. When it is sleeting and snowing and you are sitting in a deer stand and you can't feel your toes, all my amens are gone. You are showing you are passionate about hunting. Amen. When people will camp out overnight on the sidewalk just to get the deal of the next morning, they are showing they're passionate about saving 50 bucks. When folks will fight you in Walmart on Black Friday over $3 towels, they are showing they are passionate about saving 50 cents. Amen. Y'all must be guilty of them Black Friday shopping. You will catch an elbow to the eye. Folks will be fighting over bleach. Move on. So people go to the extremes to show what they are passionate about in their life. The point is that when it comes to what you really love, you will do whatever it takes, no matter how bad it makes you look. Now, during your lifespan, you will be passionate about several different things. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to love to play softball. I would play softball every weekend. I would play it during the weeks. But as I've grown older, if I play softball now, I can't move the next day. Amen? So I have lost that passion for it. And something that I used to be very passionate about has changed to other things. I lost interest in it. Other things became more important. It wasn't that I wasn't passionate at one time. It's just my passion faded for that particular thing. There are things probably in your life that at one time you thought you couldn't live without, but then your passion began to fade. I heard a preacher say one time, said a man got married to his woman and to a woman and says, "I love her so much, I wish I could have eaten her up." And then about 3 years down the road, he said, "I wish I had." Why? Because your passion begins to fade for that. Let me move on. So there have been other things in my life that I was passionate about. And at one time I have, and now I have absolutely no interest in them. And I'm sure many of you are the same way. There were things in your life that you thought you couldn't live without, and now they don't really mean anything to you. Things that you like and don't like will change over time, especially as you get older and you mature. You see, the older we get, the more we lose focus on what we've been so passionate about through the years. They seem to stop being as important as they once were, and we get to the point that we don't put as much effort into things that we used to. And as time goes on, you put less and less effort until they finally completely fade away. Yeah, those feelings are still there, but they take a back seat to other things. Yeah, that desire is still there, but you don't put as much effort into it as you used to. You see, but everything that is in the natural has a supernatural counterpart. So in the natural, if things that we're passionate about fade, guess what? In the supernatural, in our walk with God, there'll be things that are important to us that'll fade over time. You see, one of the hardest things to do after you've been serving God for a length of time is to maintain your passion for him. You remember when you first got saved, you wanted to tell everybody what Jesus did for you. You wanted to go out and tell everybody how awesome Jesus was. In the church, you couldn't be still. You wanted just to praise God with everything that you have. You wanted to worship God with everything you have. But as we serve God for a length of time, many times that begins to fade. And God can be moving, and we're sitting there with our arms folded, going, I just ain't feeling it today. You know, the days that I don't really feel like serving God, God pricks my heart. Some days I don't feel it. Some days I don't want to be nice to people. Some days I don't want to love everybody. Some days I want to just get in my flesh and tell somebody what I think. Amen? I got a few honest people in the house this morning. Rest of you, pray for your pastor. There's days that I really don't feel it. But then God gently pricks my heart and say, do you think Jesus felt like getting up on the cross for you? Do you think Jesus felt like getting 39 lashes across his back to the point that his intestines were hanging out of his back? Do you think that he felt like getting that crown of thorns put on his head? Now, this just wasn't your rose bush. The thorns that they made the crown of thorns out of, the thorns were 1¼ inches long. So that's why they placed it on his head, then had to take a stick and mash it down into his. So they went as deep as hitting his skull and turning and coming out. They stuck a spear in his side and blood and water came out. So when we're not really feeling living for God, ask yourself, did he feel like doing that for you? Amen. But there's times, but everything in the natural has a supernatural counterpart. But what happens many times as we're so excited about living for God and things start off so strong, but then they burn out just as fast as they catch on fire. It's sort of like lighter fluid. You ever tried to start a fire and you were having problems starting it, and you pour some lighter fluid on it, throw a match on it, and woof, if you don't stand back, you'll lose your eyebrows. And it goes woof, but as quick as it flames up, it flames out. And many times people do that. They'll get excited about living for God. Well, I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to get in church, and I'm going to get my family in church, and we're going to start doing what's right, and we're going to start changing our lives and living right. But then as fast as it flames up, it flames back down. Why? Because even though you decide to turn your life completely over to God, even though you decide to live for God, it doesn't mean that life is not going to happen. And the moment that life starts happening, the moment that things get difficult, the moment that you start going through is when that flame can be doused out. And that's what the enemy wants to do, to douse your flame. Why? So that you can't be a light. The Bible said you are the light of the world. And we're supposed to shine that light. We're supposed to burn brightly with the love of God, with the passion of serving God. But the enemy wants to throw things at you that will cause your flame to dampen out. We see this all the time in the church world. People will come in and seem to get excited by the presence of God, but they seem to burn out just as fast as they started. It seems one service they are ready to worship God and ready to charge hell with a water gun. But the next service, they just sit there like a bump on a pickle, mad at everybody. You know, people ask me all the time, well, why don't you dress nicer when you preach? I was like, I didn't know there was a dress code in the Bible. Well, you should wear your Sunday best. I said, well, the problem is most people wear their best clothes but bring their worst attitude. Amen. Thank you. People come in looking sharp. Casket sharp. Y'all get that later. Casket sharp. People come in looking casket sharp, but they the meanest, sourest, hatefulest, judgmental person you ever met in your life. And they come in all this. So people we'll sit there and have all these attitudes and come in church and mad at everybody and mad at the world and mad at their spouse. Pull up in the parking lot telling each other how much you hate each other. Then walk in church holding hands. How y'all doing today? Oh, we so blessed. And your spouse is looking at me and you just said in the parking lot you hated me. I'm gonna leave that alone. I felt some fiery darts. I got them, you better move on, preacher looks. I'm I'm gonna pray for y'all. But what happens when you begin to lose your passion for God? Your relationship starts to fade. It's just like in your natural relationship with your spouse. Let me help you, fellas. Don't start nothing that you can't keep up. If you open doors for her when you're dating, don't have her opening your door when you get married. Hello? I see we need to do a marriage conference. Don't start nothing that you can't keep up. Because as you get used to them and as you begin to live with somebody and you think she's the greatest thing in the world, she's the most beautiful thing in the world, until she wakes up in the morning and her hair looks horrible, there is no makeup, and she turns over and says good morning and her breath almost knocks you down. You see these shows where they wake up and say good morning and start kissing. I'm like, the devil is a lie. That is not true. Michelle wakes up in the morning. She turns over, good morning. I'm like, oh, my God, baby. She's like, you going to kiss me bye after you brush your teeth? So things begin to fade, and you got to be able to keep up what you start. And even in your marriage, you have to do that. But also in your relationship with God, you have to do that. You know, I want to serve God. I want to work for God. But many times, people think they get so holy and they get so righteous in their own eyes that they think that doing stuff for the kingdom is beneath them anymore. Hey, if it's picking up trash off the floor, guess what? God sees it. If it's cleaning toilets, God sees it. No matter what it's doing, God sees it. If it's just sending somebody a text message and saying, hey, I love you and I missed you, guess what? God sees it. We've got to maintain, and this message today is maintaining our passion for God. And I'm going to show you why it's so important. Let's move on. Moses was a man that was born during a time when there was bondage in amongst God's people. People were bound. People were enslaved. And Moses was born during this time, and there was a decree sent out that all the male babies were to be killed. And we know the story very well that Moses' mother made a basket and put Moses in it and set him afloat in the river. And Moses was picked up by part of Pharaoh's house, and they took Moses and they raised him in the palace. But Moses was spared to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. And he grew up in a palace and had the best of everything. Let me stop right there. Moses was spared to deliver God's people. There may be people in here today that you're wondering why God kept you through some tough times. But God has spared you for a purpose. God has spared you for a plan. And you must realize that everything that should have taken you out that didn't is because God has a purpose. And you may be saying, why am I still here? Why didn't it just take me out? Why haven't I just died already? Why hasn't everything just fell apart in my life? It's because God has kept you for a reason. There's people in here today that you should be dead, but God kept you. There's people that you should be in jail, but God kept you. There's people that you should be in a mental institution, but God kept you for a reason. And you need to realize, just like Moses, God spared him for a purpose. And I don't know why this ain't even in my notes, but I need somebody to know that God spared you for a reason. Don't get complacent. Don't worry. Don't think that it's not going to happen, that if we just keep trusting God and holding on to God, amen, his purpose will be revealed in our lives. Amen. Moses was spared for a reason. He grew up in the palace and he had the best of everything. But one day, Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And Moses got angry. And it angered him to the point that he went out and he killed the Egyptian. Moses was passionate about stopping the Egyptian from beating one of his brethren, but his passion was misguided. God wanted to use Moses to bring out the children of Israel supernaturally, but Moses tried to get in the way and do it himself. You know, it's one thing to have passion, but it's another thing when you have passion and it's misguided. It's one thing to have passion and it be misguided. There's people today that are passionate and they have great passion, but it's towards the wrong things. It's not headed in the right direction. Can I just be real? There's people that are passionate about getting their next fix. There are people that are passionate about having their next affair. Ooh. There are people that are passionate about stirring up trouble. I don't know what it is about Marion County, but we have professional pot stirrers that they'll stir the pot and don't even know what they're talking about. And stuff will get back to me and be like, I didn't know you did that. And I'm like, I didn't know I did that either. Well, I heard that's the problem. We got some professionals around here. Don't be one of those. Amen. Thank you, Brother Austin, for that amen. We got some professionals that love to just dig and stir and start problems. And we got professional hypochondriacs. Let me move on. It's a tough room this morning. So Moses, his passion was misguided, and he killed an Egyptian. The Bible says Moses fled into the wilderness and comes to live with Jethro. And Moses ends up marrying one of Jethro's daughters, and Moses is there for 40 years. Moses is in the palace for the first 40 years of his life. Then Moses is in the wilderness for the next 40 years of his life. So at the time Moses has his encounter at the burning bush, he is 80 years old. So Moses comes to live with Jethro, and he tended his flock for 40 years, and he basically allowed his passion for the children of Israel to die out. The Bible says, check this out, and I think we read over this many times, Moses was content to dwell at Mount Horeb. Moses was content to dwell at Mount Horeb. He was not at Horeb, he was content to dwell with Jethro, I'm sorry. Moses was content to dwell with Jethro. In other words, Moses would have been satisfied to stay there the rest of his life with Jethro because he had let his passion die. You see, we can get preoccupied with life and let our passion for God die out. We can get preoccupied with everything that's going on around us and let our passion die out. Well, I got to get the kids doing this, and my marriage is doing this, and my job's doing this. And we go through our day, and we fulfill our day, and then it's 11 o'clock at night. And we say, I hadn't even read my Bible. I hadn't spent time praying. I hadn't done what I was supposed to do. Because we can get so wound up in doing everything else that we forget what God called us to do. And that's to go out into the highways and the byways. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Tell people about what Jesus did. I know we have to work. We have to make a living. If you don't work, shame on you. If you are physically able to work, the Bible says a man that shouldn't work shouldn't eat. Amen. Get off your lazy behind and get a J-O-B. Amen. You don't have to like me. It's the truth. Amen. Amen. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Quit laying up in your mama house or laying up on your wife and she working. Hello? Be a man. Whew. I'm getting some ugly looks, but that's all right. That's why I still got a J-O-B. Amen. Let's move on. So one day, so here's Moses content to live in his father-in-law's house and not worried about the children of Israel. The 40 years that Moses is over there living with Jethro, the children of Israel are still in bondage. Let me help you right here. When we're so caught up doing our own thing, and we know that we're saved, and we're on our way to heaven, we're so caught up doing our own thing, do you know that there's people that's dying and going to hell every day? But we're caught up doing our own thing. We're concerned about our own lives. We're concerned about our own issues. We're concerned about our own problems, but there's people still in bondage. And we have the greatest thing that we could ever offer them, and that is the gift of eternal life, that we can say, we've received this gift. And guess what? That gift is for you as well. So you see how easy it is. It was easy for Moses, and guess what? It's easy for us to get so wrapped up in our own problems, in our own life, that we forget that we've got it real good. Well, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. There's somebody that's got it worse. Well, you don't know what I've been through. There's somebody that's been through more. Amen. You're sitting here today in clothes. Some people don't have clothes. You'll be able to eat lunch today. Some folks won't be able to eat. You'll get to go to a house. Some people wish they had a house. Amen. You'll get to get in a car. Some people wish they had a car. You got money in your bank account. Some people wish they had a dollar to get something to eat. Let me tell you something. Somebody's always got it worse. We can't get so wrapped up in ourselves that we forget what other people are going through. Part of our passion for living for God should be passion and care for others. The Lord, they asked Jesus, they said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind. And Jesus said, and the second is like to it. Love your brother as you love yourself. We've got to be passionate about doing what God called us to do. We got to be passionate about being the hands and feet of Christ. Amen. I know I'm saying some tough things this morning, but this is what's in my spirit this morning. So one day, Moses is out in the wilderness watching Jethro's flock, and he saw a bush that was burning, but it was not consumed. In other words, the bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning out. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning out. In other words, it flamed up, but it didn't die down. Moses said, I will turn aside and see this strange thing. In other words, it was strange to Moses that something was on fire but didn't burn out just as quick as it started. We have so much right there that I could preach about, but I'm just going to touch on it for a moment because I don't have a lot of time. Something that burns but doesn't burn out will always attract others. A church that gets on fire for God like ours is, but refuses to let it burn out, will continually attract folks. Why? Because even today, people say it's strange to see that. We've seen revival jump from churches to churches, and people get excited about God, and churches start growing, but then all of a sudden they have some kind of squabble. The church splits. And then it's back down and has to start rebuilding again. I've been in church since 9 months before I was born. Y'all are tough this morning. And I've seen it happen over and over and over and over. And churches will begin to be excited. The fire will begin to burn. And then some old religious knothead has a problem with it. And they start running off all the new people. They want to dampen out the fire. And then all of a sudden the fire goes back down and the church gets in the same place it was. I preached in a church a while back that some of the older folks love to run it and try to run the pastor and keep running everybody off and is really holding the church back. And I stood in the pulpit, and I wasn't even the pastor of this church. I stood in the pulpit and I said, this church is a couple of funerals away from revival. They hadn't asked me back. I wonder why. So let me move on. Moses said, let me turn aside and see this strange thing. Moses said, it's strange. Had Moses seen bushes on fire before? Absolutely. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. But there was something different about this one. Moses said, it's strange that it's on fire, but it doesn't burn up. Moses said, I'll see aside, turn aside and see this strange thing. He knew that he had allowed his passion to die. So when he saw something burning that didn't burn up, it caught his attention. Fires that blazed up real high and then burn out didn't catch his attention. But a fire that sustained, a fire that kept burning, a fire that didn't burn out. Moses said, I got to turn aside and see this strange thing. You know, just like a spark of revival is not going to change the world, It's going to be people that are passionate about God, passionate about the things of God that can change this world. Can I just be real for a moment? The Democrats aren't going to fix it. The Republicans aren't going to fix it. Another president won't fix it. When God's people get passionate about God, when God's people get passionate about the will of God, the Word of God, amen, when God's people get passionate, there are people that are cheering. People that are cheering when a governor signed a bill to kill babies up until the day before birth. People cheered. And we have to beg people to say amen in church. Come on. Read an article the other day where a man molested a 10-year-old. And the judge sided with the man and said it was the 10-year-old's fault for going to his house. Let me tell you something. We live in a world that people are passionate. And they're trying to pass laws now where pedophilia is not a crime. It's a life choice. It's a lifestyle choice. We are seeing California now trying to ban religious books, trying to ban the Bible. We are seeing people be passionate about driving God out of America. But God's people need to be passionate about raising God up in America instead of sitting around while people are running God out of our country and running God out of our schools and trying to run God out of our homes. We need to be passionate about seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to this world. We sit around and we gripe and we complain and we make a Facebook post about I'm pro-life or I'm pro-this and all that, but what are you doing about it? Well, I'm not for abortion. Well, then put your name on a list to be a foster parent, to be an adoptive parent. So say you don't have to abort that baby. I'll take it. Hello? Well, I'm so sick of drugs in our counties. I'm so sick of drugs and I'm so sick of our kids getting in trouble. Then get up and do something about it. Help donate money to build centers and rec centers for kids to go in the afternoons to be able to stay out of trouble. Gosh, we don't have anything for our youth to do. Amen. I hope you see my passion this morning. I'm passionate about seeing God's kingdom go further. I love this church, but my passion ain't about filling this church up. My passion is about seeing people changed. As a result, God sends people to our church, and that's great. My passion is about seeing people like Megan sitting over there. 70-something days, 78 days clean. That's my passion. Guess what? That she's no longer ruled by addiction. She's ruled by Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where the passion should be. How many days clean, Ashley? 3 years clean. That's what. How many years clean, Tommy? 6 years clean. Let me tell you something. That's where my passion is. Check this out. Mandy, how many years clean? 18 years clean. It's not about what, you know, being passionate about building a church or filling a church up or getting money and all that. It's about seeing God change people's lives. And we have to be passionate about that. And when we're passionate about that, we'll go out and we'll tell people, guess what? God has a better plan for your life. You don't have to live like this. Maintaining our passion. And the world will notice. I asked a question some time back. I'm going to ask it again this morning. You don't have to answer. But when's the last time you've done something for anybody other than yourself? When's the last time you've done something for somebody other than yourself? When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? We sit around and we talk about, oh, I'm a Christian and I can't stand what's going on in this nation and I'm so this. Hey, get over yourself. If you can't stand it, do something about it. You can't stand it, do something about it. Well, I just don't like what these politicians are doing. Then get up and vote. And quit voting Democrat because you're black. Quit voting Republican because you're white. And vote for who God leads you to vote for. Hello. Hello. Got to use a Democrat. Got to use a Republican. Well, I'm left wing and I'm white wing. Last time I checked, it takes both wings of the bird working together for it to fly. That's for free. Y'all can have that. So let me move on. Moses saw the bush. It was burning. And he said, let me turn aside and see this great thing. Up until now, it's not recorded where God had spoke to Moses. Up until this point. Moses sees the bush burning. And he says, let me turn aside and see this thing. And when Moses turned aside and went to the bush, God spoke to him. There's so much right there, and I'm going to show you this in 2 points, and then I'm going to close. First of all, when Moses saw the bush, he seen that it was burning and it didn't burn up. He said, let me turn aside and see this. And then God spoke to him. The question that I'm asked more than anything is, how can God speak to me? How do I know when God's speaking to me? I need direction from God. How do I get that? Watch this. When Moses went towards the fire of God, God spoke to him. When you embrace the fire of God, when you become passionate about God, you get in God's word, you get in prayer time, guess what? God will begin to speak to you. Well, I don't know what God's saying. You got a whole Bible full of what God said. And there's times I need a word from God. I need God to give me some direction. And I sit down and start reading my Bible, and God speaks to me through his word. Why? Because God's word is absolute truth. God's word is absolute truth. There is no error in it. People say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it don't. It does not. I've read it so much, it does not contradict itself. So let's move on. The second thing we learn from this, you want God to speak to you first, be passionate about him, go towards him. The second thing we learn about this is that if Moses would have kept walking, God would not have spoke to him. You have to embrace when God comes to you and learn this about people. God said, if Moses can be exposed to this bush and keep walking, then he's not the man. If somebody can be exposed to you and leave you, they're not for you. Wow. If somebody can be exposed to who you are and keep walking, let them go. Some of you need to get anointed with the, I'm going to let you go. Because if you can be exposed to me and me not affect you, and you keep walking, deuces. God's got somebody else. God's got somebody else. Let me tell you, and I'm getting ready to close. Sister Beverly, would you come? The bush had to burn without burning up. And it caught Moses' attention. So how do I keep my fire burning? You make God the center of your life. You make God the focus of your life. You make God the focus of your marriage. You want that same passion in your marriage? Hey, I still date my wife. I still text her on a Friday at work, be like, what you doing tonight? She'd be like, I don't know. What you want? I was like, I was wondering if maybe you would like to have dinner with me. And she'd be like, I think I would like that. I still date my wife. That's all right. Amen. Don't let the passion die in your marriage. I don't know why I'm going with this, but just following God. I still flirt with my wife. If you watch my Facebook page, you'll see some of my cheesy pickup lines. I have Googled thousands of cheesy pickup lines to find the perfect one. I sent her one the other day and said, you must be a ticket. because you got fine written all over you. That one was good. That one's good. Y'all can have that one. But just like maintaining that passion in your life, in your marriage, maintain that passion for God. Guys, Jesus is coming back very soon. And we need to be passionate about Him. Passionate about serving. Passionate about being in His house. Passionate about leading other people to the Lord. Maintain your passion. Because guess what? Just like Moses, people are watching. People are watching if you're up 1 minute, down the next. If you love your church 1 minute and hate your church the next. If I'm the greatest pastor 1 minute, then you can't stand me the next. Hey, people are watching. People are watching. And as your passion burning bright, and they see that you love God, they see that you love people and that you're being the hands and feet of Christ. Guys, if we got to do anything, our church is, and I'm going to talk to our church is at a pivotal place. I can't say that word. Pivotal place. We can either die down or we can keep blazing. And I don't know about you, but I choose to keep blazing. I choose to keep burning. Why? Because there are people that need Jesus Christ. There are people that need what we can offer them. Open arms that says God loves you just like you are. And let us introduce you to a man called Jesus that can change your life. That can change your life. Hey, people are hunting that. People are looking for that. People are looking for something real. Not some put-on show fake. I can see fake a mile away. I can't stand fake people. People are looking for something real. And we have to have that spark, that passion. And you may be saved in here this morning and have been saved for a long time, but my question to you is, are you still as passionate as you once were? Are you still as passionate about God and about doing for God as you once were? Are you still as passionate about working for the kingdom of God? Or do you say, I've put my time in, let them young folks do that? Let me help you with that. The Bible says, while Joshua was old and stricken in years, the Lord spoke to him and said, there's still much land to be divided. In other words, said, Joshua, you ain't done yet. And no matter how long you've been serving God, you're not done yet. God still has need of you. But you have to maintain that passion. Would you stand with me? Father God, I have delivered my heart today. And God, I pray that you would help us all, God, to take time this morning to do a self-evaluation, to see if we've let our passion die out, to see if we've let our passion for you die out, our passion for serving, our passion for living for you. God, the time is short that we have left here on this earth. And God, we must be about your business. God, help us this morning to allow you to reignite that flame. Fan the flames, God, in our lives that we can burn brighter than we ever have before. God, and I asked you today, if there's one in here that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, that even now you would deal with their heart. And let them know that you love them right where they are. Right in the midst of all their mess, right in the midst of all their problems, you love them. And you have a wonderful plan for their life. While no one is looking around, please. If you're here today and you'll say, Pastor,